I'd like you in your Bibles to turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Spirit-filled believers are to shine like the stars. Spirit-filled believers are to shine like the stars. You may recall that 2 weeks ago we preached on stirring up the gift, and we spoke that we hoped in the next few weeks that we would be speaking on the supernatural life of the Christian, being spirit-filled and using the gifts that God is giving us to build up the church, to encourage the church, to equip the church so that we can make an impact in our world and so on. But I just feel very much constrained to continue, as it were, to lay the foundation and see what God's going to do. To see what the Lord is going to do. Those of you who were here last evening at the Answers in Prophecy will know that Philip spoke from this chapter. And so I believe God has something to say to me and to us as a fellowship, even from this word. So may the Lord give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. So we're going to read chapter 12 of Daniel. At that time, Michael shall stand up. And of course, in the previous chapter, he's been talking about the Antichrist who will be revealed and so on. This man who will deceive many. He will deceive many. The majority may be even in Israel, thinking that he is the Messiah. He is the Christ who's come. But he's a deceiver. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be?" Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, "My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." Thank you, Lord, for this word. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Spirit-filled believers are to be shining like stars in these days. That's God's will. That's God's will for you, it's God's will for me, that we will shine. How can we shine like the stars? When all around us seems to be going to pot, when Israel will increasingly become a victim and the surrounding nations will come against it and God's judgment will be seen to be poured out, how can the true believer, believing Jew, believing Christian, shine as the firmament, shine as stars? This is God's will. This is God's will. Yes, friends, we're living in a society that wants the believer, that wants Christians to conform. We're living in a society, and it has always been so, but of course there is increasing pressure today, particularly with all of the available media, the internet and so on, that we can easily get sucked in, conform, to compromise, to do what is easy or just to fit in. But the Lord is reminding us that we are to be different. In both testimonies that were shared this morning, we heard what it really means to put trust in the Lord, even when things seem so difficult and challenging, and it almost as if the foundations of what we've been trusting in are being removed, yet faith comes and looks to the Lord. That I'm not going to go with the world's mindset, but I'm going to have a Christ mindset. Hallelujah. Because we feel there's a great pressure, is there not, to conform to the world around us. It was always has been so, but again, John is speaking to you, John is speaking to me. You are in the world, but don't be of the world. That's what the Lord is saying to us. That's why we need, obviously, to be truly born again of the Holy Spirit, to be in Christ. But we are to be Spirit-filled, baptized in the Spirit, because we will not stand this wicked day unless we are full of Christ, living for Christ. Because we leak, and again, that's why the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, go on, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm laying the foundation, but I do believe God is going to be doing something tremendous amongst us as a people, all who are willing over the next coming weeks, so that we are a radically transformed people, and a people who are unwilling to conform to the world, unwilling to conform to religion, but are willing to be wholehearted followers, disciples, committed to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Of course, the book of Daniel has great advice how to rise above the ordinary. How to ascend from the ordinary. How to live the Christian life in a very secular world and society. Now we know that there's going to become a world leader who is the Antichrist. And again, we had a wonderful... Friends, I'll be honest with you. Last night, yesterday, I was dog tired. I don't know if... Well, I don't suppose dogs do get tired, but I was dog anyway, dog tired. But I wouldn't have missed last night for anything. I was fed. I was really fed. I was encouraged. I was challenged. I was fed. That was some living stuff for me. And I hope it was for those of you who were here. And I realize that many are unable to come because of family commitments and other things. But I hope whatever you were doing, you were being fed. Rightfully fed. Because we need to be fed, we need to be nourished so that we can then be able to be all that God wants for us individually, in our families, in this church, and so that we can impact our world. Whether that's our neighbours, the community around here, whether that's our work colleagues, college, whether that's family, whether it's the people we have a chat to at the bus stop. We have been with Christ. We are shining like stars. And it's all because of His grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Time is short. One of the testimonies shared that this morning. Compared to eternity. And the Bible talks about it being like a vapor. grass is mown down, is here today, is gone tomorrow. So the coming world, there's going to be a coming world leader who's the Antichrist. And we will see even in this, in these verses here in Daniel chapter 12, that there's coming a time which was articulated last night of a distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations. And this will particularly affect the Israel as a nation and Jews. And again, it was articulated so well last night that the Jews have gone through, even in this past century, horrendous times. You think of the Holocaust, for example, and then going way, way back into history, even 160 years before Christ, etc. They have suffered, and a lot of it has been because of their rebellion. A lot of it God has allowed because he was so jealous for his people. But what is going to happen, like it or not, is going, even what's gone before is going to pale into insignificance in a way. This is the word of the Lord. But of course, the other side of the coin is that it will be an amazing time that will eventually culminate in the return of the true world leader, Jesus Christ, whose government, it will be upon his shoulders. Hallelujah! It will be an everlasting kingdom. Praise be to his name. In the meantime, there will be the distress of the nations, but it is not all doom and gloom. We heard last night about the faithful Jew, the believing Jew, those who persevere, those who eventually turn to the Lord, who are trusting in the Lord. And for the faithful Gentile, the believing Christian, they can and will, if they are in tune with the living Lord, full of his Holy Spirit, love his word, they will shine like stars. Hallelujah. And they will be leading others into the truth. If you don't know the truth, the Holy Spirit cannot bring you into it. But if you know the truth, if you're studying the word, if you're lapping it up, if it's like honey to you, the Holy Spirit is going to quicken it to you. You're going to grow, you're going to mature, and you'll have something to share with a fearful, fainting world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we have some prophetic words here. Again, we were reminded last night that over a quarter of this word, this book, is prophetic. Many have been fulfilled, much is still. This has to be God's word. No man could have made this up. By the way, please, you were given a leaflet when you came in, or if you haven't, do use this and take some more and give to your friends. This is the Answers in Prophecy Day conference, which we've got here on Saturday, March the 8th, when we've invited two speakers, Chris Hill and John Anglis. So please advertise and promote that meeting. What shall the righteous do in these days? Again, I say, for the believer, it isn't doom and gloom. It isn't doom and gloom. So here we have it. It was the worst of times. It will be the worst of times, but it will be the best of times as well. And in the opening four verses of Daniel chapter 12, this is a statement that is pretty full on, isn't it? It's pretty full on. Daniel is told that the coming tribulation and the rise of Antichrist will lead to a time of unequaled distress since the foundation of the world. Particularly true for the nation of Israel. But we also find something remarkable, that Michael the archangel is raised up as well to be a protector. He's the only archangel that is specified in the scripture, in the Bible, and he's assigned to protect the nation of Israel. So although the times of distress and tribulation will be unparalleled, unequaled, yet for the faithful Jew, the believing Jew, they, if their names are in the book, they will be delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Daniel, as we've read, was instructed to write the words of the scroll. And I believe that this means that the words of this prophecy were to be protected until the time of the end, when the words will become invaluable to those who are seeing the fulfillment of the words. Two other interesting prophecies are given in this chapter, isn't there? One is that people will be going to and fro, moving here and there, and also that knowledge will increase. In these last days, knowledge is going to increase like never before. Of course, in his context, the fulfillment of these words is likely to be related to the study of prophecy and the words of Daniel. There's a vast increase in the knowledge of Bible prophecy that is occurring. Unfortunately, a lot of it isn't rooted in the word, but is speculation. We believe that what we're seeking to do in this place is to not speculate, but give the overall picture and what the Word of God says, so that we can be prepared. We don't know how it all is going to, as it were, be fulfilled, but we know we have the picture. We have the picture. But of course, many do take these prophecies which I've just mentioned of the travel and of the knowledge explosion that is occurring very literally, and I believe it is. We're living in a world of change like never before. Even us who are younger find it difficult to cope with all of the changes in technology, do we not? You know, you've got your television, and you know, it's the old 18-inch square box thing, so you think, you know, it's time to replace it, so you nip along to Currys or one of the other stores, of which there are many, and you decide, you've swatted up on plasma TVs, you think, yes, that's the one I need to go for. But your mate tells you, no, plasma, that's old hat. What you want is LCD. So you go running into the showroom and say, I want an LCD TV. And they say, no, what you need now is the new technologies, is LED. That's what you want for your TV. So they say, LCDs, that's old news, that's on the way out. LED. So you've got a nice flat screen and you take it home and no sooner have you installed that you realize that the latest is a curved 3D screen. And that is what happens with possessions. They're out of date. They go. As someone once said, by the time it takes me to get where it's at, I'm where it was. It's true, isn't it? And but we're living in such times, it's such a pace, and you know, we've got our 4-year-olds teaching us adults all about it. We're told that technical information is doubling every 2 years, which means that the student who's doing a 4-year degree, by the time they've got their third year, half of what they've learnt is out of date. But here we have the Word of God. And as we heard last night, there's going to be a shattering of the holy people's power. Verses 5 to 7. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the riverbank and the other on the riverbank, on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above, I believe, Christ, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So we just read about this man in verse 7 or verse 5 who's a man clothed in linen. I think it's likely, as I mentioned, to have been Christ. asks the other man, how long will this unrivaled, unparalleled distress happen? A good question, don't you think? And in this answer, the Lord gives the exact time frame for this period of tribulation, but also a key requirement that must come before the end. The length we've just read, the length of this period is said to be a time, times, and half a time. You can also look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It's a reference to the 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th seven. But I want you to notice the key requirement for this time period to end: when the power of the holy people is shattered, when they have been brought to their knees, as we heard again, and I just think God is saying something which he wants us to grasp, why he said it to us twice in 2 days. All of Israel's resources, their strength, their character, their armies, in the end will prove futile. They will be broken. They will be shattered and be brought to their knees. God's way of doing it, and it's all done in mercy, is all done in love. And that applies to you and me. Each one of us, if we're going to appreciate the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to enjoy the salvation of the elect, we need to be broken inside and say, woe is me, I am undone. And then the cross is revealed. Christ giving his life a ransom for me. While I was still a sinner, Christ demonstrated his love for me. But we have to be broken, and the Jews are going to have to be broken. This mighty, proud, resilient nation of Israel must be brought to its knees, and hallelujah is going to. That's why the Apostle Paul could excitedly say in Romans 9, Romans 11, all Israel shall be saved. Salvation is coming to them. But they first have to be brought to their knees, and it's during a time of unparalleled distress. The one they rejected as their Messiah, they will be calling for him to return. They will look on the one whom they pierced, all because of God's covenant love. You can read also more about it in Hosea chapter 5, 14, and chapter 6 up to 1 and 2. But just read with me, if you will, verses 8 of Daniel 12. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Daniel doesn't fully understand what he's being told, does he? He doesn't. He can't do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he doesn't understand. These prophecies are for the time of the end, and those who are wise will understand. Those who are wise will understand. Let me just very quickly, because there's two more time frames that are thrown into the pot here in these verses, because we've just seen that from the time that the The daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, is set up. There shall be 1290 days. We just read that. But then we read in verse 12, blessed is he who waits and comes at the 1335 days. Jesus' return after 1260 days, there's another 30 days, 1290 days, where the nations will also be judged, including Britain, will be judged for their persecution of God's people. But the second time frame, the 1335 days, involves a blessing. It involves a blessing. Blessed is he that makes it to the 1335 days. Blessed is she who perseveres. Blessed is he, faithful Jew, faithful Christian, believing Jew, believing Christian, who makes it to the 1335 days for the time of the Messianic Kingdom. Anyone who makes this time is truly blessed. So finally, friends, how are we to live? How are you and me to live? The Lord wants us to shine as the firmament, to shine as stars. When men's hearts are fainting through fear, when there's chaos all around, how is the believer to live? Verse 13 says, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Verse 2 says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise, those who understand the times, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I believe that these verses help us to focus on what really matters, eternity. Eternity. The importance of this life is very much demonstrated, is shown in verse 2. The importance of this life, what we are now presently living. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Note, friends, there's going to be a resurrection. There is going to be a resurrection. Death is not the end. Though this body grows old, decays and dies, our soul does not. Our soul does not. We always think ourselves, and mostly don't we? We think of ourselves in terms of our body. Yet that is just the shell. It's just the shell that contains the real person. So when we go and visit maybe a grave of a loved one, and we're just reflecting and thanking the Lord or whatever, and our emotions, etc., it's the shell which is in the ground. It's just the shell that is in the ground. C.S. Lewis said that, I think he said it very well when he said, you do not have a soul, you are a soul, you have a body. I may not got that quite right, but it sounded good anyway. So the resurrection is the resurrection of the body. At the resurrection, some will be raised to everlasting life. Hallelujah. Yet others to everlasting contempt and shame. Friends, their shame, their punishment will last forever. This is the simple, cold, harsh truth of the matter. Although, of course, it is hard to think about. I plead with you, do not let people convince you that Bible teaches universal salvation, that everyone eventually gets saved. Or in the annihilation, that the wicked are annihilated in the lake of fire and that's it, they cease to exist. Or that after a time, punishment stops. I believe that these theories, and they're only theories, have far more to do with what a person would like to believe than what the Bible actually teaches. Daniel talks about everlasting life and everlasting shame. Praise be to the Lord that God so loves that he doesn't want any to perish. And he's delaying his coming, in a sense, because he wants the gospel of his sovereign good and free grace to go out, that all may hear it, that all have an opportunity to believe in this amazing Lord God and be saved from their sin. That's God's love. That's God's mercy. He would have been perfect just to condemn us all. But he has chosen to save. Such is his love. Such is his love. The same word, in fact, we had this a little bit, some were discussing this at the prayer for Israel, which we had earlier this week. The same word is used of the length of a time, eternal, without end, and everlasting. Jesus, of course, said the same thing, did he not, in Matthew 25, verse 46, when he talks about those who are serving and loving and materially benefiting the poor, and particularly the Jew. He says, talking about the goats, talking about the sheep, he said, some will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Same word used. But I also want you to note the beauty of verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Wow. That's God's will for you. That's God's will for me. Those that walk in the ways of obedience, those that walk in the ways of the Lord, those who help others to find and walk the path, that narrow path, they're going to shine. Hallelujah. I think there's a literal aspect to this shining. You know, there's some people, and we've got, praise God, I'm not going to name any names at all, but there's some people you just, it just shows in their face. The beauty, their love of Jesus just shines out of them. When John saw Jesus in glory, when he had that vision, and when he saw Jesus in glory, he said that his face shone like the sun in all its strength. Hallelujah. We read in the New Testament that it was witnessed, it was known that these people had been with Jesus. We want to fellowship and stay with Jesus. When God's glory shines through us, when we see Jesus, we shall be like him. The Apostle Paul, when writing about the resurrection, said, "There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, and all of the stars differ in glory from each other." But then he said something very significant. It is in the resurrection forever. What a great promise. What a great motivation to walk in his ways today. Amen? What a motivation to walk in his ways. Because what we do now, what we believe now, what we do, impacts eternity. Yes, friends, it impacts our rewards. It impacts our inheritance. And the Bible says in Proverbs, "He who wins souls is wise, and they who are won will be eternally grateful." And in God's grace and in his providence and in his mercy, we will be rewarded accordingly. So conclude. By and large, it has to be said, the church is largely asleep. We know there's so much false teaching, and much that has left most of the church, or many of the church, unprepared and open to deception. And we want just a church that pleases us, that builds their self-esteem and just carry on. But I praise God that His Spirit is at work. And I do believe that in these days which we're going to be seeing, God is going to revive His true church, and they will shine as stars. And people whom we may have given up on, they're going to rise up. Hallelujah. Because this is the God of grace. And if we want to dare to be different, the children sing that song, dare to be a Daniel. If we want to dare to be different, to be different than the world that is pressurizing us to conform in our own unbelief, then we must settle in our mind once and for all why we are here. We must settle in our minds why we're here. Daniel lived his life for an audience of one. Yeah, God. It was Lord. Daniel lived his life for an audience of one. It was the Lord. We read in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, that about his vision, and where he has a vision of Jesus. In that vision, Jesus says to him, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Yeah, your words will be heard, and Christ will come in response. Hallelujah. Daniel lived for an audience of one, his Lord. He was humble before God, but he recognized that God alone could give him wisdom and insight, so he submitted his life to him. Hallelujah. And Daniel wasn't easily distracted from life's purpose. Daniel's time of prayer sustained his faith in difficult times, as indeed Joseph's was, as we heard earlier. This is where he found his strength. Friends, prayer for us is not an elastoplast, not an elastoplast for emergencies, but it's for our daily bread and daily living. Verse 2, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt, but those who are wise. And it's talking about the end times leading up to the time of tribulation. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. I believe it is God's will. In fact, I know it is God's will that you, Crawley New Life Church, will shine in these days, that we will be a beacon to many. We need to be Spirit-filled. I thank God for my brothers and sisters in other churches and fellowships in this town and beyond who will be shining like the stars in these times, who recognize the days that we are living in. All of the Bible writers, friends, who's thinking of the last days or eternal matters on eternal matters, they brought it back to how these matters should influence us today. Influence our life today. What did John say? He said, "Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. And we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself as he is pure." We know, friends, that those who go through persecution and are going through it now in different nations And the believing and faithful Jew, when they go through severe persecution and terrible and much of it at the hands of the Lord, and as we may go through increasing times of hostility, we know that it, when God has his way, it's a purifying, it's a separating thing. Hallelujah. Peter says, therefore, when all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening, hallelujah, the coming day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Is that what you're looking for? Is it? I am. I want to take my eyes off the much which binds us and can captivate us. And I want that which liberates us. I want to be a spirit-filled, on fire Christian. I want this church, because it is God's will, to be spirit-filled, on fire for Christ. A supernatural people, a gifted people, a spirit-filled, spirit-gifted people that can go out and see the captives released, the blind opened eyes, to see the lame walking, to see those who are bound by sin delivered from Satan's domain into the kingdom of Christ's dear Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of mercy. I want us, please, Lord, that our faces shine with the beauty of Jesus, because we've been with Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Last night, Brother Philip Wren said that he was confident, he was happy, he was blessed, because he knows the future. He knows the future. Do you? We are to stand firm. We are to do exploits. We are to bring understanding. We are to endure suffering. We are to be refined. We are to resist evil. We will find rest. We can endure suffering, even shining as stars, because we know the end will be glorious. Hallelujah. Amen.